Backstage Pass is made possible by Mauer Productions On Stage, supporting community theater in central New Jersey.
Hello, and welcome to Backstage Pass, Central New Jersey's community theater podcast. I'm John Mauer, and I'll be moderating this session, where we will be learning life's greatest lesson, the gift of communication, with the Pennington Players production of A Miracle Worker being presented at the Kelsey Theater in West Windsor, New Jersey. The Miracle Worker is a dramatic work ultimately derived from Helen Keller's autobiography, The Story of My Life. This classic tells the story of Anne Sullivan and her student, blind and mute Helen Keller. The show dramatizes the volatile relationship between the lonely teacher and her charge. Trapped in a secret, silent world, unable to communicate, Helen is violent, spoiled, almost subhuman, and is treated by her family as such. Only Annie realizes that there is a mind and spirit waiting to be rescued from the dark, tortured silence. Through scenes of intense physical and emotional passion, Annie's success with Helen finally comes with the utterance of a single glorious word, water. The title of the show echoes Mark Twain's description of Sullivan as a miracle worker. The production was first realized in 1957 as a Playhouse 90 teleplay. It was then adapted for Broadway in 1959 and then into an Oscar-winning film in 1962. Here to talk with us about the Pennington Players production are Judy Parrish, director.
Hi.
And actors, Jennifer Nastasafudi.
Hello.
Isabel Kinney.
Hi.
Moot Davis.
Hola.
And Morgan Petronas.
Hello.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
So Judy, what drew you to The Miracle Worker? Why did you want to do this show?
As someone has told me in the past, particularly our producer Beverly, I am drawn to Southern settings, because previously I did Steel Magnolias. This is another Southern setting. I'm also drawn to real life stories, historical of significance in that regard. And I just love the message of the play, of being able to fight through those challenges and come through and be successful on the other side of that.
Okay, and what do you consider to be one of the major challenges in doing The Miracle Worker?
The biggest challenge that we had before we even got to rehearsal is wondering if we were going to find someone who could play Helen Keller, which is a very big challenge, a child actress who could play deaf, blind, and hold that throughout an entire production, and also finding the rest of the cast that complements that entire process. So we were worried about casting.
And how's it been going since then?
It's been going great. I was very blessed to have a cast of 15 people who meld well together, who act well together, and who actually get along.
Well, we have four of those actors who get along with us here today. Now, all of you have the unenviable task of playing not only classic people of history, but of literature as well. So, who wants to start off?
Jen. Judy's pointing at me with the role of Annie Sullivan, and yeah, you know, I have to say that when I was auditioning for this role and then when I accepted it, probably my biggest challenge was getting over the intimidation that I felt in, you know, not only stepping into a real life remarkable woman of Annie Sullivan, but also the remarkable performance of Anne Bancroft that everyone associates this role with. You know, but what it pretty much came down to is I just had to sort of push that aside and approach it on my own and hope that I come up with a performance that is true to what William Gibson put on the page and also does Annie justice.
Now, did you do any research specifically into Annie Sullivan herself?
I did a ton of research. I spent a lot of time on the Perkins Institute website to see what information they had there about Annie and her relationship with Helen. I read a number of her letters, which you know, were the source material for William Gibson's play. I spent time on the website of Ivy Green in order to, you know, see what the grounds looked like and what the house was and what the actual well, you know, where that was placed and the garden house and all of the really significant locations that take place in the play. You know, and read up on some other influential people in Annie's history.
Annie is basically became Helen's companion for life.
Yeah, She did marry. The marriage was not incredibly successful, which, I understand because of her close relationship with Helen, I think probably had a lot to do with that. But yeah, they ended up being companions and, I think good friends for the duration of Annie's life since she predeceased Helen.
Going back to their companionship, they're actually, Helen Keller and Annie Sullivan are actually buried next to each other in the Washington National Cathedral.
Well, sitting next to Annie is Helen. Isabel, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
This is a very tough role for a young actress to take on.
Yes.
How did you feel when you were first told that you were going to be Helen?
I was very excited to take on an inspiring person as Helen Keller, but it was very hard to play deaf and mute and blind. But I've overcome it, and I've done it. And sometimes it is hard to really imagine what it is to be like Helen Keller, or what it was to be like Helen Keller. But I play it as best as I can.
It is a very active role.
Very
this is a
physical.
Very physical role.
Yes. I only talk once throughout the play, but all of my emotions and my struggles are through my actions. And there are a lot of physical scenes, and they are hard, but me and Jennifer have done them, and we played them very well.
You've bonded.
Yes,
you've
bonded.
I'm very lucky that both of them are basically fearless.
Fearless.
So they will go for whatever I've asked them to do, and usually beyond that.
Now, the two parts of Annie and Helen are the best known when it comes to the show itself, but another two major characters are her parents. So, Moot, you play Captain Keller. Mm-hmm. Tell us something about your approach to the role.
Well, starting off, it's been a long time since I've done any acting, so it was just sort of getting back and sort of trying to get back on stage with other people. I'm not sure. It's a bizarre little process.
Well, what's your approach to Captain Keller? I mean, I know that. Mm-hmm. In the concept of the show and the two actual people from history. They didn't know how to handle their daughter.
Right.
So it was sort of a combination of trying to be strict and or trying just giving her what she wanted just so she would fit in. What's your thoughts about that on the captain?
Well, I've never seen the movie. I've never read the books about this whole particular thing that happened. So it's kind of a... For me, it's kind of, there's nothing to live up to for me. So it's kind of, you know what I mean? It's like, it's cool. One of the things when I was reading the description about the captain, one of the lines said, he is a deeply sad man. And I think at the time when I was auditioning for this, I thought, wow, there's some part of me that's sort of feeling that. And I'd come out of a breakup of a 15-year relationship, right before I auditioned for this.
So this is very cathartic for you.
Right? Well, yeah, you know what I mean? I was looking for something to do so I could stay out of trouble, you know what I mean? Because usually if I'm left to my own devices, it just becomes, a mess. But... the process, and I have no idea. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to be around.
Do you consider him to be sad because of his feelings about what happened with Helen? Or
sure.
Is it sad for some other reason that just sort of reflects in here?
Well, no, I think it's, number one, it starts with Helen. But I think there's also a really big struggle between him and I imagine that James is his youngest son.
Yes.
Correct. So they don't seem to see eye to eye. And but I think they're kind of similar, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So I think that had this thing not happened to Helen, he would just... Everything would be okay, I mean, he could get past the thing with his son, but I think the burden of having a child in Helen's condition is really wearing him down.
And playing opposite you as Helen Keller's mother is Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us something about Kate.
My approach to Kate has been not so much as trying to replicate anyone else's performance of Kate Keller, but just to really approach the role as just a mother and in seeing how she interacts with her daughter, just how much she loves her and is so desperate to help her. And I think as the play goes on, you see her going through all kinds of trials and tribulations, and just being hopeful to being desperate and sad again, and hopeful and desperate and sad, and just willing to do whatever she can for the sake of her daughter and for her family.
The play starts, and you know that Helen is sick, and then it becomes very obvious that something is really not right, and then it just goes downward from there. And then you know they sort of are throwing their hands up and in inviting this young girl to come and help them, you know, do something, because they're sort of at their wits' end. And you know, I think that by the end of the play, obviously, when she begins to speak, and that sort of connection is made between, you know, either, whether it's words and things have a name and all that kind of thing, I think that sort of they all, you know, are able to, you know, see that she's sort of going to be okay, you know, in some fashion. You know what I mean? It's not going to be like a, it's not going to be like a little nightmare every 5 minutes. You know?
I think for Kate, she's a little bit more emotionally torn. Because I think she does want her daughter to be successful and to live a normal life, but then she is so successful because she has such a close relationship with Annie, and I think there might be some jealousy of that relationship because she's kind of taken over as her teacher, and a mother wants to be the main teacher for their child. So she wasn't really, even though she's the one that brought Annie there, she's not really the one that was able to help her. And I think that might be a little bit hard for her.
And there's sort of a north-south struggle in this play as well, since it's set in Alabama, and the Kellers are southern. It's, you know, 20-some years after the Civil War, so they're still in Reconstruction, and they bring this girl from Boston, the north, into their midst. So there's that north-south sort of struggle, temperament struggle that goes on between, you know, between Annie and particularly the captain, but also with Kate, of those types of sensibilities. So it's not just the struggle of finding Helen, there's a struggle of finding Annie, and the Kellers finding themselves throughout.
Yeah, well, a lot of times when you think about the show itself, I mean, Helen's struggle is obvious. She needs to be able to communicate. But there's also a struggle in Annie.
Absolutely. You know, I think one of the complexities of playing this character is finding the balance between those struggles. You know, she starts off the play being, you know, sent off as a teacher, having never, you know, having always wondered how she was going to earn a living and make her way in the world. You know, she had graduated from Perkins as valedictorian, and all of a sudden she's being sent out to this deafblind child who nobody knows what is going to result. So, you know, I think she is looking at towards that possibility with hope, but at the same time she's constantly being pulled back by the trauma and the memory of her past in the almshouse, and her brother who you know, died, and her father who abandoned them there, and her mother who passed away when she was 9 years old. I'm sorry, 8 years old. So, you know, it's she's kind of caught between this constant tug of war of her past and what she hopes for the future. And then once she arrives in Alabama, you know, there's even a bit of a tug of war in how she has to deal with Kate as opposed to the captain. You know, I think it's obvious to Annie that Kate is hopeful and full of love and just wants to do whatever it is required to get Helen into a place where she can be, you know, at least a functioning, happy child. Whereas she perceives the captain more as, you know, the person who just showers Helen with pity, which is everything she resents about her own past. And so I think she's a lot softer with Kate and a lot harder on the captain, because she feels like she needs to kind of beat him down with regard to that pity, whereas she just needs to sort of more softly persuade Kate to come around to her side.
So you say, so as part, because of her own past, does she identify with Helen?
Oh, absolutely. I think she identifies with Helen to a degree. I think she also sees her brother Jimmy, who she feels incredible guilt about not being able to save in Helen. And, you know, as a result, I think she sees it as an opportunity for redemption, really, is what it comes down to. Both, you know, saving Helen from her life of, you know, darkness and being shut off from the world, but also saving herself from the guilt and all of her regrets from the past.
So Isabel, as Helen, you don't say anything until the very end.
No.
Do you, does that feel like it's the high point for you in the show, or is there a specific point in the show where you say, this is the moment?
I am definitely thinking of a particular moment in the show. There's a big fight scene, and we call it the breakfast scene. And this is where all emotions are let loose and everything comes out. And Annie and Helen are struggling. And there's, I think that's really when she teaches Helen that she's not going to give up until Helen shapes up or behaves. And I do not say anything till the end, but the miracle scene is also another point of which I feel emotion, and I hope the crowd will feel emotion too.
Yeah, the iconic breakfast scene in the script is 5 pages of description without any dialogue.
Yes.
Ooh.
It can go on. It has been known to, in some productions, to go on for as long as 15 minutes. I haven't timed it lately how long Hours is going, but it's in the script, it's 5 pages of simply description without a single word of dialogue. So it's quite intense, and it's the two of them fighting over eggs.
Yeah, I really think it's the physical manifestation of the battle of wills.
Yes,
it is Helen and Annie.
Yes.
So, this show opens on February 1st.
Yes.
Before we get to that point, does Pennington have anything else coming up this season?
Not in this season, but in the 2013-2014 season, we will be doing Terrence McNally's Masterclass, which I will be directing, which is a play about a real person again, Maria Callas, the opera singer. And Frank Ferrara will be directing Big River.
While you're waiting for that, if you'd like to go see The Miracle Worker at the Kelsey Theater, it will be on the West Windsor campus of Mercer County Community College and will begin on February 1st and run through February 10th. Tickets are $16 with discounts for seniors and students. Go to www.kelsey@mccc.org or call 609-570-3333 for further information and reservations. I want to thank my guests, Judy, Jennifer, Isabel, Moot, and Morgan, for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
For Backstage Pass, I'm John Maurer. Thanks for listening.